good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. And I don't know, I always just give that phone number after I say Discount Gold and Silver Trading. It's a habit. Anyway, my co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today's date is Friday, February 19th. 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing this Friday?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much.
Well, tell me where we're going to party at tonight.
Party? Party?
Yeah, stay up to 9 o'clock and eat a pizza. I mean, really party.
Do preachers party?
Oh, absolutely we do. We get high on something besides booze or drugs.
I know. That's the greatest high there is. I'm going to have to party with Ruby.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
No. So I'll throw a ball or two and she'll be happy. So anyway. Anyway, we have gold today. A little bit of a struggle, both up and down, but in the New York spot price, $1,783, up $6.90. Silver is up 18 cents at $27.27. Platinum is up a buck, $1,278. Palladium was up 26 at $2,406. The USDX today was down 0.22 at 90.35. The crude oil was down a buck and a half at $59.03. And let's see what the paper markets are bringing us today. You have the Dow up 59 points, 31,552. NASDAQ was up 9, 13,874. S&P down 7 at 39.06. 10-year yield, 1.34%. That keeps a climbing. And European Asian markets were fairly flat. And I don't even like to say it is really, trust me, I do like this. Crypto, Bitcoin, $55,000. $55,000. Up 7% today. Can I have three of those, Butch?
You know, I just can't understand how a number on a computer screen, a flip on a computer can be worth $55,000. I guess that's above my pay grade. I can understand it. That makes any sense to me. I mean, there's nothing there.
It's some powerful salespeople, and that's what a Ponzi scheme is.
It's just amazing.
It's a pump and dump Ponzi scheme. And Ponzi schemes are great. You can make a ton of money. Until, so go along for the ride. As you know, you're just like in Vegas, flipping those dice. It's great while you're on a high and you're rolling along, rolling all the right numbers. But eventually the house wins. And I don't know, Butch. I've been swamped today, and didn't have a chance to really look to see what kind of news was out there. It's pretty much, we saw a little bit of dip in the dollar. You know, we have stocks are focused on earnings. You know, we're going through that time of the quarter. There's some weak data out there floating around, but you know, there really wasn't much.
But financial news is scarce. I have got a little bit here, but I've got a lot of other news here, though, that I think is really important, at least to me they are. And the first one I want to share when you get a chance, man, is what's going on in the UK. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just finish this up with Bitcoin. That's topping $1 trillion in value. $1 trillion in value. And now there's another article out there about Russia could become the first country to make entire currency digital. But that's out of the U.S. Sun. I'm not sure how newsworthy that is, but according to an RT report, most lenders expressed their support over a two-level model of the digital ruble. The model would allow banks to open wallets for their clients on the central bank's platform and conduct operations with the currency. We will develop a more detailed concept and start discussing it with the public, market participants, and banks at the beginning of summer. The next step would involve launching a testing, a special platform, and the adoption of the new form of the currency would also require amending legislation. So, and that's really true. Even our, you know, our constitution has to be changed in order for us to have a digital currency. But I don't think anybody thinks about that.
No, they don't think about the Constitution anyway. When's the last time they really did think about the Constitution?
No, but I mean, to go to that degree of introducing something and replacing it with, you know, it would have to be, I would think, I don't know, who knows.
Well, they ignored it when they started issuing paper money, using that as money. They ignored the Constitution because only gold and silver can be lawful money in this country.
Well, this is true, but I mean, they did the legislative things in order to confiscate it and, you know, confiscate the gold, and we saw the steps. So there were things that were being done in order to introduce and go totally fiat. So, but anyway, so who knows?
Well,
Russia's on its way down. So
it is. It is. I mean, they're starting to have political problems over poverty. I mean, people are getting fed up with, I guess, being broke and no money is being. Kind of like America.
Really?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Wow.
Do you think that if they are considering the digitals just because they're desperate, they don't, the people are getting kind of upset, and there's, I don't know how, it's a, kind of like a bailout here in the country. People get frustrated, so give them $1,000. You know, thumb a bone. Let them go chew on the bone a while. I just wonder if that's one of the reasons why I consider it, because they're desperate to get the people off their back.
Yeah. Well, you know, old Elon Musk, he gets my goat. He gets my goat. He says it's better than real cash. Well, yeah, you just put $1.5 billion in there. Why don't you put the rest of your $1 billion in there if you think it's so much better than cash? And of course he's going to say that. He's doing well. I'd like to know where his $1.5 billion, how much he's gotten. So now with that little statement right there, do you know how many more billions of dollars will be flowing into, you know, he just has to say something every now and then and people will open their pocketbooks and add more cryptos to their wallets. So, anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Obviously, it's made some people some money over long haul. I don't understand.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Well, I do too. I know one gentleman told me he bought 5 of them years ago. Sometime back, he's paid $60 a piece for them now. So, he's cashed them in. So, I say if he got it all done, he made a profit.
Hmm. I guess so. What's next?
Anyway, this article, I think, is really important for different reasons, scripturally also, but just the way it's going and it's coming, I think, to America soon. But ministers still pressuring Boris Johnson to introduce domestic passports to enter cinemas and live events. Now, folks, this is serious. Ministers are still pressuring Prime Minister Boris Johnson to introduce a domestic passport that will allow only those who have taken the COVID-19 vaccine to enter venues such as cinemas, sports stadiums, and even pubs and restaurants. As we highlighted earlier this week, the British government denied for months that it was planning a vaccine passport for international travel, but then did a 180 and indicated they were all but inevitable. Authorities then also suggested that domestic passports could also be mandated that would prevent people who haven't taken the coronavirus jab from entering cinemas, bars, restaurants, and even shops. Comment not, folks. This really. If you are opposed to the vaccine, this could be very dangerous in Britain, and it's coming to America. Prime Minister Boris Johnson quickly tried to dismiss the idea of a domestic vaccine passport on Monday, but in the same breath, said that businesses would adopt an identical system anyway. I think that will be the route that we go down, and that businesses will go down, Johnson said on Monday, adding, you're already seeing lots of businesses using the potential rapid on-the-day testing as well. I think that in combination with vaccination will probably be the route forward. According to the Times, ministers are putting pressure on Johnson to formally codify a domestic passport that will leave millions of people who don't take the vaccines under indefinite lockdown. Now, Melly, that's really a huge statement. We're not finished yet, but that's a huge statement. Punish the people who don't want the vaccine. Don't let them be able to, you know, go out and travel or buy groceries or anything. Punish the people who have maybe a Christian conviction against the vaccine, as I do. But anyway, we're talking about industries that are dying here. In terms of getting live music, theater, and other parts of entertainment industry back on their feet, it seems an obvious thing to do once the majority of people have been vaccinated, a senior minister told the newspaper. Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab also suggested over the weekend that immunity certificates may even be needed to enter supermarkets. Telling LBC that the idea hasn't been ruled out and it's under consideration, but of course, you've got to make it workable. Some major companies have also suggested that they will begin to phase in a no jab, no job policy. The notion that you will have to take a vaccine to even enter a shop to buy food renders ludicrous the government assertion that the vaccine isn't mandatory. If they follow through on these proposals, it will be mandatory for anyone who wants to live anything approaching normal life. Meanwhile, the prospect of literally having Mark to buy or sell indefinitely is going to get attention of fans of Revelation 13:17. Now, that's what the Bible does say about that. You can't buy or sell without it. Now, I don't say the vaccine to mark the beast, but it's certainly a step in that direction. If you can't go to the store and buy food, you can't leave your home, you're pretty much isolated, and you have no way to provide for yourself. You can't keep a job, no jab, no job. Melody, that's a pretty serious thing to think about.
You know, we talked ever since this started a year ago that was their, you know, yes. You have businesses, you know, just like there's, you know, hospitals and so forth who require all their employees to get it, you don't work. And I don't know. And then I was reading something just recently that would be a little harder, it'd be a little bit more difficult to actually for businesses to do that. But I don't think it would be that difficult at all. But then you wonder, Butch, you hear about all these, you know, how they want all these, you know, passports and everything like that to show that the Wall Street Journal came out and it was reported that we're going to have herd immunity by April.
Yes.
By April.
I saw that. Yes, saw that.
And, you know, cases are, this is what's confusing. And this is what kind of makes me, you know, you hear all these reports about all these numbers are fudged and so forth. And I agree with it. I just don't know to the degree of it. You know, you just don't know, but cases are down 77% over the past 6 weeks. These vaccines did that much?
No, they haven't given that many yet, 77%. I don't think so.
Cases are down 77%.
Yeah, I don't think they give up that many yet.
Over the past 6 weeks. If a medication slashed cases by 77%, we'd call it a miracle pill. Why is the number of cases plummeting much faster than experts predicted? And they say it's a large in part because of natural immunity from prior infection is far more common than being measured by testing. And testing has been capturing only from 10 to 25% of infections, depending on when during the pandemic someone got the virus. But what's that got to do with it? Then that would be the same if you're counting cases on the way down. I don't know. But anyway, 15% of Americans have received the vaccine. And I don't know. It was just a little. It's like one in one doesn't equal two, Butch.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't even come close. But when has it has when it comes to reporting on news media or government officials? When has it? And by the way, talking about the vaccine, we had a health care worker we was talking to, Marsh and I, last night. Works on an ambulance. Her and her friend or partner had gotten a vaccination, and her friend broke out in rash about all over her body. The young lady we talked to said she had a rash under her arm and around her arms, and it really was nasty for a while. So just to note that's a side effect that could happen if you take it. That's probably one of the least ones, but it's a side effect.
I think of the people that I know that have their vaccines, I think most of them were tired, fatigued, extremely. Mm-hmm. One lady, she couldn't lift her arm for about a day. You know, she just couldn't lift it. It was like stiff. It was like locked in place. She couldn't lift it. But for the most part, fatigue has been, you know, the only one that I know of. But you know what? Someone was telling me today, a golfing buddy golfed January, what was the date he said, 17th, and died 2 weeks later from COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, so people do die from it.
Yes, they do. That is a fact. That's, you can find that you can find that information pretty easily. People have died from it. Other people have started taking convulsions and seizures with it. No, I'm not going to do it personally. I can't tell anybody else to do it, obviously. That's their life or business, but I'll not take it. I just won't do it.
I know. There's just something about this whole thing that is, you know,
it's eerie.
It's very eerie. Like,
it is. It really is.
It's very eerie, you know, and it's just, I mean, I was talking to my 87-year-old aunt, and, you know, she's not sure that she's going to do it. And she told me, she says, it's just weird. She says, when you hear about all of these huge stadiums being turned into vaccination centers and, it's just, it is weird.
And the National
like
Guard
something,
giving it. The National Guard giving it. There's something different and not right with this.
I don't know what it is, but.
Well, if they make it where you can't buy yourself out of, that pretty much tells you what it is.
Well, yeah, true. Very true.
So that pretty much leads that direction.
Okay. What's next?
And I'm going to get into what's happening right now in Texas, but I do want to share something from my middle son, Jamie, is a lineman for power companies. And he was called from his place where he's working down below Charleston. He was called into Princeton, about 2 hours south of us here in the state, because that's where they got hit hard with this ice storm and snow. He sent videos today to us on our phones. And he showed them trying to drive up a road in a side-by-side to get up to where they needed to look at some things. And they couldn't get, it was terrible. The ice on the ground was at least 3 inches deep, falling from the trees, and still some on the trees. And he took a picture of a tower covered with ice. That's one of the towers. And the tower, as he's videoing, at the top of the tower broke off under the weight.
Wow.
Now, that's what's happening.
We'll finish up with that when we come back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we've got the Silver Eagles, we've got the Gold Eagles, we got Kangaroos, we got 90% silver. We have lots of things for you to make purchases to eliminate those fiat dollars into real gold and silver money. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
Yes, ma'am. I was telling about my son, of course, and the tower and working as an alignment on a power company. They went up to examine some of these places where they have to work, but they couldn't do a thing today. They finally had to go back, just went back to the base and back to the motel, so we can't do a thing to this thaws a little bit. We just it'll take us days to just cut our way into where we have to work. So some parts of our state, Kentucky, and of course right on down to Texas, have been hammering. We'll cover things in Texas right now. But this has been, from what I've seen in the video he sent me, I've never seen an ice storm where there's 3 to 4 inches of ice on the ground, and the trees still hanging full of ice and all been over the road. This is, and broken off and laying everywhere. This has been huge. We've been spared it here in the area where I live, where we normally get most of the bad weather because we're up in the mountains here, but it missed us this time. But Texas has been hammered unbelievably bad. Said nearly half of Texans remain under boil water advisories as water scarcity and freezing temperatures continue. This is CNN. Texas begins restoring power after a devastating week of freezing temperatures and winter storms. The state is confronting a new crisis, overwhelmed water systems that could extend misery for much of the population. Leaks called the frozen pipes have pushed the water supply to the brink. About 13 million Texans, nearly half the state's population, remain under a boil water advisory Thursday, according to Executive Director for the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, Toby Baker. More than 700 water supply systems are impacted. In Austin alone, the state's capital water supply lost 325 million gallons due to burst pipes. Austin's Water Director Greg Mazeros said during their press conference Thursday, he said, "We know that there are tens of thousands of leaks," Mazeros said. As the fire department indicated, they have responded to thousands upon thousands of burst pipes. At the peak from Tuesday night to Wednesday, the system lost 325 million gallons, he said. "This is an incredible amount of water, nothing I've ever seen before," he said. So thousands and thousands of leaks have to be passed to get the water back. That may take a couple of days, don't you think, Melody?
You think it would.
I think it would. Really, they're getting hammered, and I'd feel kind of sorry for him. I really would. And outages morph into outrage as Texans slapped with mind-blowing power bills. I told you this would work down to the consumer. It always does. Folks, understand, companies cannot cover all the cost. If they don't make a profit, they're not in business. The rolling blackouts have plunged up to 15 million Texans in darkness amid a historic cold snap are diminishing by the end of the week. About 188,000 customers were without power in the state on Friday morning, days after power prices jumped from $50 per megawatt to more than $9,000. The horror stories pour in for those who have had power this week during the grid chaos as they are mind-boggled how their energy bills skyrocketed. None of these horrifying power bill stories below should be a shock as we describe to readers in a piece titled Power Bills to the Moon, Chaos Shock at Shock Electricity Prices Across U.S. Explode, that this would happen. And I don't know about you, Melly, but I was told, it's been about 2 years now, a little long ago, I was talking to a power worker near where I live. He said, your power bill is going to double. And I said, well, why? And he shrugged and said, because they can do it. Yeah. And mine did double. It did. But Texans who were on a variable or index plans with power companies are only now reporting their bills have jumped hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, for a month. Royce Pierce told Newsweek he owes the electric company Gritty $8,162.73 for electricity use this month. His usual bill is $387. $8,162.73 for 1 month on electricity bill. Regular bill is $387, which is kind of high anyway. Wow. It's mind-blowing. I honestly didn't believe the price at first, Pierce said. It's not a great feeling knowing that there is a looming bill that we just can't afford. Pierce is one of the lucky ones who maintained power through the entire grid crisis, but it came at a steep cost. There's nothing we can do. This is already an insane thing, and I don't care about the money when it comes to people's health, Pierce said, adding that if the virus pandemic hadn't affected his work, we could have taken care of this. Other horror stories of soaring power bills, local television stations across the Lone Star State, when food and housing insecurities are incredibly high due to pandemic job loss, many folks in Texas who were on the variable power plans could be financially devastated. WFFA Dallas spoke with one person who said, mine is over $1,000, not sure how. 700-square-foot apartment, I have been keeping it 60 degrees. One couple said, when your electric company tells you to switch, but there has been a hold on switching for over a week now, using as little as possible, 1,300 square foot house, and this is my bill, how is this fair? I only paid $1,200 for the whole year of 2020. A tweet was accompanied by a screenshot of her bill that was $3,800 for the month. Mm. I think that's financial news, Melody. I think these people are really struggling.
Well, I told you during break that I had to take my vehicle in and had to have a repair, and my neighbors took me to pick it up, and my friend's husband had said, I don't know where he heard it. I don't know if it was from his financial planner or what, but they were talking about you'll be paying $6 a gallon for gas by the end of the year. And think about it. What else is going on when we're paying $6 a gallon for gas? And this is in California. California, they're already probably paying $4 a gallon. So that's what we have to look forward to. It's coming back.
It is. If it's six there, it'll be at least three here. Three something here. At least.
$6 really isn't, and can anybody go back and remember what happened when we were paying $6 before during the Great Recession? Yeah, industry stops. This country stops. People don't do anything. Oh, Butch, we can get another stimulus check from the government then.
Yeah, that'd buy a few gallons maybe, but I don't know what lasts. Yeah. I know that in Colorado Springs where my son and daughter-in-law live, with the great last great recession, they were turning off street lamps. The city was turning off every other street lamp, trying to save money. So, it's coming to America, and it's coming soon. The economy collapse, that under the orders that you can't buy or sell, and that you follow, get a vaccine and have an ID card to prove you got it. Where's this leading? Folks, you got to think ahead on this. I pray all this just disappears, and a year from now, Melody, we can sit back and laugh, and man, we just to say, oh, that was a hard time to go through, but it's all better now, and we're back to being a unified country with a common goal to live in peace, and that isn't going to happen. I wish it was going to happen, but it isn't going to happen. All the indicators are showing us, everybody out there listening should know this, but now I'm sure they do, that we are heading down a rough road. And we're seeing the beginning of it. It's like a woman going into labor. The pains are getting harder all the time. It's coming. Now, this article from Texas also said, how much longer would Dallas-Fort Worth area store shelves be nearly empty following winter storms? On top of dealing with power outages and boil water advisories, many North Texans have been frustrated by nearly empty shelves at grocery stores across the Metroplex. I know it's unnerving for customers when they come to in the store and it doesn't look like the grocery store they know and love, said Christy Lara, Director of Public Relations for the Southern Division of Tom Thumb and Albertsons. There's been an increase in demand, coupled with some stores that have dealt with power outages and get rid of a product as a result. We as Americans have been spoiled to the fact that we have for years, all my life, been able to walk in the room, flip on a switch, and we get electricity. Walk in the store and the shelves are packed. We've been spoiled that for a long time. And it shocks people when that isn't the case. And now maybe this will go, like I said, and all turn around in 6 months now, be all back to what we call normal with everything, even the virus. I don't think so. I don't think they intend to let this die, at least the virus. They don't want it to go away. They don't want it to just disappear and everybody go back to normal. Melody, I wish I was wrong with that. I really do. But I don't think I am.
No. Can you imagine what happens? I mean, it's cold in Texas, so you're not going to have a lot of people out there, you know, rioting and so forth without power. But just think if it's in the spring or in the summer and the power grid goes down. I mean, they were talking about the power grid in Texas. And you have to remember something. Texas has their own power grid.
They do. Yes, they do.
They have their own power grid. So for them not to be able to handle this, guess what? Someone should be held accountable for the deaths that occur in that state.
You want to share one of those?
For the loss of property from frozen pipes and water damage. Someone ought to be held accountable for having their own power grid, which, you know, that was used to be the calling point for moving to Texas. Hey, we're on our own power grid. Nothing's ever going to happen to our power grid. We'll always have power. Well, fooled you wrong. So, yeah, it's and think about what happens when power grids would go down and in the summer and spring. Look what people do. They riot.
Mm-hmm.
They break into places. They steal. So... very dangerous situation.
When the businesses are really helpless is when they get hit the hardest on this type of rioting.
Yes, yeah.
That's just the way it is. It is. I mean, I hate to say it, but many people are worse than animals. They're just waiting for a weak spot. They're like a
they're predators.
They are. They're predators, like wolves.
Predators.
In a pack of wolves, they look for the weak spot and go after it. They look for the weak one and go get them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some people are like, and that's terrible to say that, but it is what it is, folks. We can no longer look at our thing with what used to call rose-colored glasses. Look at the way it is. This is not the America of 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. It isn't. How do I know that? I was here. It's not the America it was 60 years ago, or even 40 years ago. 30 years ago, it's not the same. It's changed 20. That much in 30 years.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Melody?
20 years. I mean...
20 years. Absolutely. 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 I mean,
and the sad thing, Butch...
Yes. This,
we're evolving into a new country.
Yeah,
and
we are.
It just didn't start this administration. It didn't start the last administration. It didn't start the administration prior to that.
No.
It started a really long time ago.
The earliest president I remember was Eisenhower. I was just a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Eisenhower. And he warned in his farewell address about the military-industrial complex and what it could cause. it started with his administration, not necessarily him, but his administration. And every administration since then, I don't care what you want to say, Republican, Democrats, who's in power of all three houses, or what, it makes no difference. With each administration, I can say this from my own life and watching it, with each administration, things get gradually worse for the people. Higher taxation, more chaos, more fraud in the government, military spending of fraud and billions of dollars been wasted and CIA with black ops and this has gotten worse and worse. We can look at it and pretend like it isn't happening, but it has happened. I've watched it in my lifetime. I didn't recognize it for a long time, but now I can look at it and say this is not, each administration, no matter who's in office, hasn't changed a whole lot of anything. And I go back to Trump, and I know people won't hear this, but the first 2 years of Trump, he controlled all three houses. And basically, he got nothing done. That's just the way it goes. Now, Biden supposedly controls all three houses. We'll see.
Well, maybe he won't get anything done either.
Well, that might be a huge blessing, for sure. Because he's definitely coming after the guns.
Yep.
Definitely wants the guns out of people's hands. But back to Texas, because these stories are sad. And it's hard to imagine this. Texas man reportedly freezes to death in his recliner. As Texas suffered through days of power outages, a man reportedly froze to death in his recliner with his wife clinging to life beside him. The man was found dead in his Abilene home on Wednesday after being without power for several days in a record cold. The president of Abilene Fresh, a nonprofit organization that donates food to local nonprofits, reported on the death. He posted, "A man froze to death under our collective noses in Abilene. I don't even know what to do with this information, except to check on my immediate neighbors." Casey says his wife was in the hospital still in peril. He asked people to please go check on their neighbors. That is really a sad statement.
That really is.
That is so sad. Now I'm going to share something that happened, involved me personally. My dad... passed away in 96. We sold his house, which is about 3 miles from where I live here. We sold his home to an elderly couple. And they lived there, for 3-4 years. She passed away, and he lived by himself. And some of the neighbors checked on him, but the neighbors said that he didn't particularly care for company, so they didn't buy him a lot. But they noticed, they was watching, they noticed that they didn't see him moving around, they didn't see lights on in the house, and didn't see him moving in front of the picture window where he used to stand and walk around. They didn't see him. So about a month they went and looked at him. He died right in front of the front door going into my dad's old house. He'd been dead for about a month. So, yes, folks, check on your neighbors. It can happen.
And you know something?
They had to tear out the whole inside the house and, change the whole thing. Go ahead.
You know what's really sad is because when you don't ask people if they need help, I'm guilty of it. I'll ask somebody, "Will you need help?" They say no, and then I say okay. But sometimes those who say no are the ones that really need it the most, who want it. But there's, I say it. Somebody asks me if I need help, first thing out of my mouth is going to be no. It's because I don't know what it is about humans who. I don't know if we think it's a sign of weakness or, we've always been strong enough to be able to handle everything on our own, and lots of times after I say, no, I think, oh, gee, I wish I did that. So don't ask, do. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio, Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And so, what's next?
Well, there's a lot to talk about, obviously. The stories I just shared about what happened to the family bought my dad's and mom's old house should make us understand that we do have to be good neighbors. When we should watch out for each other the best as possible. Not being nosy, but watch out for each other. I have a neighbor who lives above me here. Then we get the snow, he gets on his side by side and plows our driveways. He does all the way up and down the road, even a little hardtop. That's just what he does. Now, he's getting up in years also. How long is it going to happen? He'll be able to do that? I don't know. But watch out for neighbors, folks, is a good thing. Now, back to some more news. And I thought this was kind of shocked me. Lumber prices top 1,000 for the first time as single-family housing starts to drop 12%. I mean, lumber prices inched over 1,000 by 1,000 board feet, according to random length lumber futures for March. That's double the price from just 3 months ago. Wow. Starts of single-family homes, which are the most desperately needed, fell 12% compared with December, according to U.S. Census. And contractor frames a house under construction. Well, let's see. Consumers want more newly built affordable homes, but builders are finding that hard to deliver, especially as prices for framing lumber spike over even higher. Lumber prices inched above 1,000 per 1,000 board feet Thursday morning before falling back to below that milestone, according to Randolph Length Lumber Futures in March. The high of $1,004.90 is double the price from 3 months ago and a record. Gosh, double the price. If that stayed there, it would double the price of a home, obviously. I don't know if there's a shortage of lumber. I don't know what caused that. Maybe, I have no idea. Maybe bad weather where the loggers couldn't work. I know in West Virginia, our second largest industry is lumber, is timber. The coal industry is still number one, although it's been hit hard over the last few administrations under Obama and others. I have to say that Trump did somewhat turn that around a little bit. But logging here is a big business. My cousin, who, by the way, has had, him and his wife have had, I think, 12 children. So he must do pretty good. It has logged all of his life, and so did his daddy before him. So there is business in logging. I don't know why all of a sudden the prices spiked to more than double, though. I don't know what happened there.
Well, I mean, I think a lot, not most, but a lot of our lumber comes in from Canada for building homes. And I think, I don't know how much of that would have had to do with the change, maybe with the changeover with the new NAFTA agreement to moving into COVID lockdowns and so forth. And we do know that building new homes has increased incredibly. Since interest rates are for mortgages are record lows, they were. They're coming back, starting to inch up a little bit. So could be a
combination
of everything. And then we just have plain old inflation. But I think some of those other impacts are, COVID, because I think with the NAFTA, I know it had something to do with the wood and everything. So
well, I do know that remodeling, every now and then I do a bit of work in the house, and every time I do it, the prices go up on everything I buy. So I guess that's just a sign of the times. It is inflation. It's just the way it is. And this next article, we know they had trouble with car makers, had trouble finding the chips to put in cars. And I think this is a story that I hadn't thought about, but they finally, car makers wake up to a new pecking order as chip crunch intensifies. The semiconductor crunch that had battered the auto sector leaves car makers with a dark choice. Pay up, stock up, or risk getting stuck on the sidelines as chip makers focus more on more lucrative business elsewhere. Now, who would have thought? I never thought about that. The car manufacturing, I thought, would be one of the best ones to get a hold of because they would pay big bucks. But car manufacturers, including Volkswagen, Ford, have cut output as the chip market was swept clean by makers of consumer electronics such as smartphones. The chip industry's preferred customers because they buy more advanced, higher-margin chips. The semiconductor shortage, over $800 worth of silicone is packed into a modern electric vehicle, has exposed the disconnect between an auto industry split by decades of just-in-time deliveries and electronics industry supply chain that can no longer bend to its wheel. The car sector has been used to the fact that the whole supply chain is centered around cars, said McKinsey partner O.J. Burkhacky, that what has been overlooked is that semiconductor makers actually do have an alternative. Automakers are responding to the shortage by lobbying governments to subsidize. Now, listen to this. Always go back to government, get the money. Automakers are responding to the shortage by lobbying governments to subsidize the construction of more chip-making capacity. Why do we always go back to the government to fix it? Ronald Reagan had a right, said government is, what did the government say? But he said the government is the problem. He had that right. But why do even businesses go back to the government to fix it? Where did this mindset come from that we have to turn back to government?
Because government gives you free money.
Oh.
Why wouldn't you?
I understand what you're saying, but it's so frustrating. What happened to the independent individuals and businesses who figure things out on their own?
Those days are gone.
This country great. People were independent and they worked hard and they earned their way and they prospered because of it. What happened to that?
It's called moving our jobs overseas.
Well, that's true. That's definitely part of it, but still, government cannot fix it. They just called more cost, more control, and that's all it boils down to. But we always seem to turn to government for a handout. You know, that's just the way it is. One of 10 in the U.S. may have to switch occupations post-pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, one out of every 10 Americans, U.S. workers, about 17 men, are told will likely be forced to leave their jobs and take up new occupation by 2030. You know, that sounds like a long ways off, doesn't it? 2030? Doesn't it sound like a long ways off?
9 years.
9 years. I remember there was a show out back in, I guess, 80s entitled Space Odyssey or something like that, 2020 or something, or 2000. No, Space Odyssey 2000. And it was, 2000, that's so far away. My gosh, that's been 21 years ago. But anyway, by 2030, as COVID-19's after effects destroy huge swaths of low-paying positions in the labor market that was primed for disruption before the pandemic. Women, minorities, the young, and less educated will probably be the hardest hit by what consultant firm McKinsey & Company foresees in a new report, as an unprecedented hollowing out of low-wage work in retail, hospitality, and other industries. COVID is a big disruptor, Susan Lund, a Washington-based partner at McKinsey Global Institute, the consulting research firm, said in an interview. 17 million Americans are part of the more than 100 million people worldwide that the Institute forecasts will need to leave their jobs and enter new lines of work by the end of this decade. That will amount to about 1 in 16 workers in the 8 leading economies covered by the study, which includes Japan, China, Germany, and the UK, as well as the US. So, even if COVID did go away, it's long-reaching, you know, it's going to have a lot of effect into the future. But 2030, and again, that sounds like forever away, 9 years now, odds are I probably won't be here to see it, but somebody's going to be here to see it. And it's just something to think about. This is going to change that much again. So any more comments on that?
Well, just think about how far 2008 was. And, you know, we're feeling the after effects from that.
Yeah, we are.
From the Great Recession, whether anybody wants to admit it or not. So, you know, they certainly have covered up a lot. They certainly had a lot of bailouts. You had to have the tax cuts and everything else just to keep it going. We're still pumping trillions of dollars, both the Fed and government, into these markets just to keep it as is. And as is not all that good. When you have 10 millions of people unemployed, and the other millions of people were working on part-time, half-time hours. So it just surprises the heck out of me. I mean, that's one thing, you know, but, you know, sometimes we might beat up on the American people a little bit, you know, with their debt and, you know, this and that. But you know what? They cope. We cope.
Yeah, we normally do.
And, you know, they're still getting by. And maybe that's what we've grown to become. Instead of getting ahead, we're getting used to getting by.
And maybe that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've done it for so long, we don't know any different.
We don't know any different.
I'm sure you have, as I have, especially in the early years of marriage and children and a mortgage, and I sit down and make me a list of my bills I had to pay, and sometimes I had to struggle to make a mortgage payment or even put, you know, give Marsha money for food for us. I mean, I remember those days. Thankfully, they've gotten, since I paid everything off because they listened to you and some others, that's no longer the problem on mortgage or buying food. Thank God for that. But yeah, I remember sitting down and struggling when $5 is a lot of money to me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. That's back when gasoline was only like 65 cents a gallon.
Mm-hmm. So coping definitely is different in today's world. Coping is a little bit better lifestyle than what we had. But then again, everything is all relative to the time in which you live and the time in which you know, are comparing. So all things are relative. So, but it's different. You know, again, people, I think working to get ahead is kind of, not everyone can obtain that maybe as easily as we once could.
There's a lot of factors involved in that, of course, and inflation is a huge one. And of course, the increased taxation, and I won't get into other tax increases on property taxes and everything else. They go up. They don't come down. My property taxes are not the same as they were 20 years ago. I know yours aren't either. Because inflation affects local governments and everything else, so they got to raise their taxes or to cover their expenses, which means we end up paying them. So, anyway, we'll move on from there. Anything else you want everybody to say about that?
No.
Here's a side of something that happened with COVID that I never suspected. Cocoa prices slump on record surplus as demand collapses. People are not buying cocoa. I don't know. So this.
I know. Know what, Butch? A year ago, we couldn't get enough of cocoa, and it was just reversed. So how quickly things change.
It's amazing. This month, JPM quant Marco Kalkanovic made this bold prediction that the world has entered a new commodity supercycle. Across the board, commodity prices have been soaring as inflation pushes higher. Now, folks, listen to that statement. The commodity prices, this is not coming from me or Melody. It's coming from a gentleman that works with a business, a company that looks at these things and as experts. But across the board, commodity prices have been soaring as inflation pushes higher. But there's one being that is off everyone's radar that continues to stumble as record surplus and poor demand have kept prices muted. On Thursday, the International Cocoa Organization released its monthly report that specified a massive surplus in global cocoa was reported for the 2021 season that runs through the end of September. ICCO, that's the International Cocoa Organization, recorded a surplus of about 100,000 tons for the 2020-21 season, which compared with a surplus of 19,000 tons for the 2019-20 season. We've outlined before concerns about the demand collapse in cocoa markets due to the virus pandemic. Cocoa demand slump could be to less chocolate consumption among consumers, as many restaurants, resorts, movie theaters, concerts, and other entertainment forms have had capacity limitations or closed in the last year. And I'm sure that's probably part of it. But I never thought about cocoa dropping in demand. I mean, most people love chocolate. Have you noticed the price come down on cocoa? I haven't noticed that. If they have a surplus, are you seeing candy bars get cheaper? I don't buy many candy bars, so I couldn't tell you. I just wonder if it's passed on down to us yet.
No. Well, Butch, do you really think it's going to be passed down to us? Come on.
No trickle down for us?
What planet are you living on?
Well, you know,
you're not up on Mars yet, are you?
Well, I'm going to say that I already got a machine up here flying around looking at Mars. I may be my next home. But anyway.
My question is, are they really on Mars or are they on the same set of the moon landing?
Who knows? Literally, who knows?
Oh, my.
And the last one of the last stories here, Bill Gates says there may be a third shot needed to combat the new coronavirus variants.
Yeah,
vaccinations are not going to go away.
Nope.
It's like a flu vaccine. Every year you're going to have a new one. They can't keep up with it. They change all the time, so they're going to have a new one next time. And that's it.
And we're out of time, and we'll be back on Monday. So be safe out there this weekend and be warm. And until then, good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, I pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.